Hello, everybody. This is Ron LeGrand coming to you with a very important lesson. The lesson that we're going to discuss today could very well make you wealthy and retire you without paying taxes and help you put your children through college tax-free and free without you ever having to write in a check to do so. The discussion is how to use your IRA, how to make a lot of money inside your IRA by using real estate and real estate-related topics or assets, how to do this without you writing checks, how to do it in a way that most people will not understand. Your attorney and or your CPA will not be able to discuss this information with you. But I have one of the best qualified men in America to do so, Mr. Dick Desich from Equity Trust. Hello, Dick.
Good morning, Ron. Thank you for inviting me on your call.
And welcome. To lay a little groundwork, Dick, why don't we tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and what qualifies you to be on this call, and why we should listen to you?
Well, thank you. Basically, I started Mid-Ohio Securities in 1964 after graduating from college.
64. My God, that makes you old.
Very old, yes. And we started Mid-Ohio Securities, and then we were a general brokerage firm, and then a few years down the road in 1983, we saw the IRAs as a potential benefit to our clients, and we got ourselves licensed through the Internal Revenue and became an IRA custodian for self-directed IRAs. And we kept that business going until about 2 years ago when we found out that the tail was wagging the dog and that the IRA business belonged in a trust company. So we formed Equity Trust Company 2 years ago and transferred all the assets to Equity Trust, and that's where we're at right now. And we have thousands of customers in all 50 states and six foreign countries that are investing in non-traditional investing, such as real estates and mortgages and notes and other type of investments.
So, Dick, what the difference between you and any other securities firm is that you don't sell stocks, you don't recommend stocks, you don't get paid when people buy stocks through you, and in fact, you don't even deal with stocks, do you?
No, we don't, but the trust company is a third-party custodian or administrator of your account.
Right.
We don't sell anything to anybody. All we do is take your directions and first of all, let's how the process starts. Either you would open up an account with our firm, number one, and then transfer your funds that you have or your position in your IRA account to us. And then once it's here, then the money is put into a bank savings account or money market fund. Mm-hmm. And until you give us a direction of investment and you tell us what you want to buy or sell, and then we take that and listen to your instructions by written instructions and do what you want to do with it. So we don't sell anything.
So you're a warehouse for our pension plan, regardless of what kind that is, be it IRA or other. And you simply send our money where we tell you to send it, as long as it complies with the law, to invest in anything that we want to invest in, not like one of the other securities companies who may house our IRA, but will only let us invest in things that are on their list to invest in. All of your accounts are strictly self-directed. In other words, it's up to your clients to decide what to do with their money. Is that correct?
Absolutely true.
All right. So we might as well cover this one. How do you get paid, then, if you don't get any commissions when people buy from you?
Well, we charge a one-time initiation fee of single processing of $50 an account. Mm-hmm. And our minimum count is $185 a year, yearly maintenance. And so that's basically like $0 to $15,000. And if you had a $100,000 account with us, we would charge you $350 a year.
Wow.
Now, these accounts, it may seem like it's a large amount of money, but just think about this. If you went down to a bank, they probably would not charge you anything for an IRA account, and they probably would call it self-directed, but it would be in their CDs or money mm-hmm. markets that they were selling. It wouldn't give you the opportunity to do what we do.
I call that multiple choice, not self-directed.
Right. And the same way you mentioned the brokerage firms. Well, the brokerage firms might charge you $20 or $50 or a mutual fund,
mm-hmm.
but you can only buy their approved list of stocks and bonds that they wanted to, and therefore they would also receive a commission basically for buying and selling. And they would not allow you to buy non-traditional investments such as ours. So now, when you have the ability to have unlimited transactions as far as buying and selling real estate, notes and mortgages and that type of stuff. With one single fee, you know exactly what it is. There's no other charges. And it's very, very reasonable. And people say, well, how can you make money? And I told you, we're just like McDonald's. We sell a lot of hamburgers.
And in fact, by the time we get through with this tape, whatever you charge is going to be insignificant anyway. And we should only hope that our annual fee that you charge is huge, because that means that we have to have a lot of money in our
account. Well, if you had a $1,500 fee with us, Ron,
yeah,
you would have $1 million account.
I could live with that.
Yes, you could live with that.
I could live with that. All right, so what we are suggesting then to our listeners is that they either open a self-directed IRA with you or transfer their existing IRA to you, either of which is a very simple process. Before we get into that, we need to discuss what kind of IRA we suggest that they open.
Well, let me say one other thing. We talked about transferring traditional IRAs and or existing Roth IRAs, but you also can transfer a 401k or 403b. These are other retirement plans where you have either been downsized or that you left the company and you're able to take your pension plan or profit-sharing plan and move it to a self-directed IRA.
All right, so let's make sure we don't leave anybody hanging on this now. If I've got an IRA, whether it be a traditional or a Roth, R-O-T-H, Roth, any place with any securities dealer, I can transfer that to you and they can't stop me.
No.
Right?
Okay. Anywhere, either at the bank, insurance company, or mutual fund, or a brokerage firm.
That makes it a self-directed IRA automatically, and that puts me in control of what I want to spend my money on.
Exactly.
Right. Now, but if I've got a 401k at my employer, I cannot transfer that to you until I'm no longer employed with that employer, and then by law, they have to let me take my money out and open a traditional IRA with you.
Correct.
And is that correct?
Yes. And let's make one other distinction, that transferring your traditional IRA from wherever it is, or your Roth, or the 401k, there is no penalty because you're going from one custodian to another custodian. We have a lot of people thinking that there's a penalty for doing this.
That's not a rollover. It's just a transfer.
Just a transfer.
Okay. So in other words, if I'm working at a company, I quit, I can take my money out of my 401k, open up a traditional IRA with you, and now I'm in control of my money.
Correct.
Right. Let's deal with transferring a traditional to a Roth.
Okay. Now, many people will say, why should I have a Roth IRA? And obviously, you and I will talk a little bit more about that later on. But for this beginning conversation, all the income that you earn on the Roth IRA is tax-free as long as you have the account open for 5 years and you're 59 and a half. Any contributions to the Roth IRA can be taken out any time and is tax-free. But now let's go back. If you have a traditional IRA or 401k, then and you want to convert it to a Roth IRA, you have to pay tax in the year that you do the conversion, and a conversion has to be done before December 31st.
All right, so let's make it clear. If I transfer my traditional or my 401k, well, I can't transfer my 401k to a Roth. I have to transfer it to a traditional first and then decide to convert that to a Roth. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And do that the same day if they want to go to the Roth immediately.
Okay. But either way, that is a taxable event. That means that it may be in my best interest to pay taxes on that transfer to a Roth now, simply because now the rest of the money that's in that Roth can grow tax-free for the rest of my life and beyond.
In your spouse's life and your children's life.
So, in that case, when I'm transferring a traditional to a Roth, I should probably consult with my CPA, but you and I both know that unless there is a lot of money in that IRA and or I am probably of age, that it is a very smart move to transfer the traditional to a Roth as long as I intend to do something with the money after it gets to the Roth.
Well, we like to say this, Ron. What would you rather pay tax on, the seed or the crop?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather pay tax on $10,000 or $100,000? And so what we do is, in most cases, when we talk to people, they fall into that category where either they have very low income or they've left their job and don't have any taxes to pay or very low, and make the conversion and pay the tax on the conversion to the Roth IRA. Now they have an account, as we said before, can grow for a lifetime of your lifetime, your spouse's lifetime, and your children's lifetime, tax-free. And when you take it out and spend it, there are no taxes. So both the traditional and the Roth grow tax-deferred. But the big difference in the Roth IRA, and there's two big differences. If you have a traditional IRA, you have to start withdrawing money by 70 and a half, or you'll get penalized. And when you take the money out, you have taxes to pay. Now, I've asked all my clients, what do you think is going to happen in the future? Do you think taxes are going to be lower in the future or higher in the future? And obviously, most of them will agree with me that the taxes will be higher. Or even if they don't know, they'd rather have an account that grows tax-free for the rest of their life. So now, with a Roth IRA, you can transfer the money into that account. And it's after-tax dollars. You've paid tax on that money. It's in a Roth IRA account. And you do not have to take the money out at 70.5 if you don't want to. And when you do take the money out, you have three choices. You can take the money out, one lump sum. Here's $1 million, and spend it. No tax. Or you can say, geez, I need a check for $50,000 a year. Take it out and reinvest the balance of that account and pay no tax. Or if you don't need the money, And your estate is small, basically maybe between $3 and $5 million. We can get that where that money goes to your children or your beneficiaries, and they will receive the income over their life expectancy and not pay any tax on the money coming out as a distribution.
Dick, can you think of any reason why anybody would want a traditional IRA over a Roth IRA?
No, I think it's the only reason why they would be is if they didn't qualify because they made too much money, way too much money, mm-hmm. and also that they were ineligible for a Roth IRA.
So in other words, if you can qualify for a Roth, which we're going to cover, you obviously that is your best choice because tax-free is always better than taxed.
Well, again, as I go back to my example, it's very clear. Do you want to pay tax on a crop or the seed?
Yeah.
Do you want to pay on 10 or 100?
All right. Well, tell me what it takes to qualify for a Roth IRA.
You have to have earned income. Well, let me put it this way. For either the Roth or the traditional IRA, you have to have earned income or W-2 income. You cannot have passive income. And passive income means income from dividends, stocks, capital gains, rental income. All those sources are not making you eligible for a traditional or a Roth IRA.
Now, of course, if I don't have earned income, that's pretty easy to fix by just simply getting me an entity and paying myself earned income, isn't it?
Or do consulting work for somebody. And obviously, we've recommended to a lot of people that are involved in real estate that they manage their property and they should be paid a salary for managing their property and putting that money into a Roth IRA.
Is 1099 income earned income?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's easy to fix. So I don't want anybody thinking, oh, I don't have a job, so I don't qualify for a Roth. Crap, make yourself a job. Get yourself a job. Do something to earn some income. Keyword earn.
Now, for the Roth contributions, the IRS has said, number one, or the Congress, that we did not want this benefit for rich people, and quote, rich people. So they set some limits on the availability of qualifying. So if you're single and you make over $110,000, you are not eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA.
Keep in mind that's after adjusted gross income.
Yes,
it's after all your deductions, okay?
It's on the first page of your tax return at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're married and filing jointly, it's anything over $160,000, you're not eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those are only the two limits that you have. First of all, having earned income and meeting those two levels as far as a contribution is concerned. But as we also said, there's one more rule that you have to know, and that if you're transferring a traditional IRA or 401k, or any other profit-sharing plan to a Roth IRA, the year that you do the transfer, whether you're single or married, your adjusted gross income has to be $100,000 or less.
If you're transferring.
If you're transferring.
Okay, but we also need to point out here that you only have to qualify for a Roth 1 year. That's the year you open it. Is that correct?
Of course.
In your entire life.
If you transferred, either case, if you open one up or you transferred, that year, whether we got your taxable income down because of whatever reasons, Then from then on, that account is tax-free as long as you have it in there for 5 years and you're 59 and a half when you take it out.
Okay, but if we qualify this year, we can go make $5 million next year and still keep the Roth IRA for the rest of our lives.
Correct.
Correct.
And let's take one other thing. The IRS has said that there are certain limitations on how much money you can put into a Roth IRA, and it's adjusted for the next 3 or 4 years. But this year, it's $3,000 under 50 and $3,500 over 50. And obviously, it's scaled to go up to $4,000 or $5,000 in the future. And this is per spouse. So all you have to have is one person making earned income or W-2 income, 1099, and making up to either $6,000 or $7,000, and you could contribute all of that into two plans.
And we're going to get into a discussion here where the contribution is not where we're going to create our wealth, which is the toughest thing for people to understand. They think it's all about contributing money and sitting back and waiting for that money to grow. We're going to blow away that myth because it's not where we're going to make our money. In fact, we're going to talk about some examples here of where we have students who have put thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in their IRA very, very quickly by using it to buy and or control real estate or real estate assets and make a profit. The key is we want our IRAs to make a big profit, not so much as to how much we contribute.
Well, let me make that specifically clear. The amount of money you can contribute is what we said was either $3,000 or $3,500 for 1 year, but it's unlimited.
There is no limit how much profit your IRA can make in a year.
Anytime.
So if we're smart enough to have our IRA make $1 million in a year, that's $1 million we never pay taxes on in a Roth IRA.
Correct.
And that is what this call is all about.
And okay. The techniques how to do that.
Right. This is what your CPA does not know, your attorney does not know. First, they do not know that your Roth IRA can even buy real estate because they're accustomed to using the old traditional securities dealers where you have a multiple choice and real estate is not one of them. Secondly, they don't know how to buy real estate without using your money or your credit, i.e. your IRA's money or its credit. So obviously, they certainly can't put these two things together. We can, and you should. Dick, anybody can qualify for a Roth IRA with a little bit of extra work on their part. Do you want to put that discussion on here, or would you rather they contact you to get some information concerning that?
Well, basically, if they have too much income, we have strategies to help reduce their income and to get them to those levels. And one of the strategies that we have in many cases that their parents usually are working for them in many cases, are helping them in their businesses. And there's two things that can happen there. Number one, if they make too much money and they don't qualify and their parents are working in their business, two things can be accomplished. They can help subsidize the income to their parents, number one. And number two, they can pay their parents a few dollars and they can open up a Roth IRA. And then the beneficiary of that Roth IRA would be the son or the daughter or whoever needed the Roth IRA who did not qualify. So in essence, when somebody would pass away, then the income in that IRA account would belong to the person who did not qualify.
So you're saying if I got an 80-year-old mom, I can open up her a Roth IRA, go ahead and do some deals inside her Roth IRA while she's alive, and then when she dies, because I'm the beneficiary of that IRA, it becomes my IRA.
Correct.
And regardless of how much money I personally make, it's my IRA.
But remember, as we said earlier, that either your parents had earned income or W-2 income and opened up a Roth IRA, number one,
yep.
Or if they didn't, and they were doing work for you, legitimate work, and you paid them $3,000 or up to $3,500, they then could open up a Roth IRA and have you as a beneficiary, and it would be your IRA when they passed away. But obviously, you know, somebody 80 years old probably would need some assistance in choosing some of the investments and strategies,
mm-hmm.
so you could help them out with some of the techniques and strategies that you
mm-hmm.
teach.
Okay. And secondly, if I can't qualify for a Roth, I can always divert my personal income, if possible, into some, probably a C corporation that's not taxed at the same level that I'm taxed at, thus getting me below the AGI level that I need for that 1 year to qualify.
Yeah, there's many different ways we have, and that's just one of them.
All right, well, I've got so many things to discuss on this conversation. I don't want to get any deeper in that. If they want more on that, they can contact your office. By the way, how do our customers contact your office if they need to open an IRA, transfer an IRA, or have questions on an IRA?
Well, there's two ways. They can call our office at 440-323-5491, and that's 440-323-5491, and our client service department will take care of them. Or 24 hours, 7 days a week, they can go to our website, which is www.trustetc.com. That's TRUSTETC.com. TrustETC.com.
Okay. Now, let's get to the real juicy part of this conversation, because right now, if I'm brand new to this, I may be listening to this CD and learning a lot of good stuff about my IRA, but I'm still not clear on exactly how I get all this money in my IRA. Where does all the wealth come from? What's the big deal here? I've got an IRA down to some securities dealer. I'm contributing. It's growing slowly. You know, there might be some money in there when I get old enough to take it out or decide I want to. So what's the difference? And here's the difference. In our world, we get the ability to buy real estate, option real estate, or lease option real estate, and or other real estate-related assets like mortgages, defaulted mortgages or current mortgages, and numerous other things. We get to do these things that create a high rate of return on our money, assuming we want to invest our money. But the smarter we get, the more trained we get as a real estate entrepreneur, the more we learn that we can control many of these assets even without using our money, and turn them into a huge profit. Now, normally, we do this outside of our IRA. But
you've got to make one more thing, Ron, that Equity Trust does not sell the real estate. It does not do any of the products. It's through your education and knowledge that they learn how to do it. We just do the paperwork for them.
Yeah, you're the instrument or the tool that makes the mechanics work, but it's still up to us to go out and do the deals, which, frankly, with a little bit of training, we should be doing them, because now we're in control of our own destiny instead of allowing our money to be invested in the stock market and hoping that it's there when we get ready to retire. In other words, we want to avoid any Enrons in our life and take control of our own money.
And this is what you call totally self-directed IRA account.
Okay. Let me just give you let's do an example or two so that maybe our listeners can clarify what we're talking about. Let's say I wanted to buy a piece of property. In this case, I have money in my IRA. I go out and find a junker that I can buy for $60,000, fix it up, spend $10,000 on it, and sell it for $100,000. In that case, I would net approximately $25,000 to $30,000 on that transaction. If that money were in my IRA, that entire $25,000 or $30,000 worth of profit would go back into my IRA, because my IRA would be the one that purchased the property and rehabbed it and resold it. That's not one of my favorite examples, but it's easy to understand these numbers and see how this big profit can get into your IRA.
Let's make one thing, distinction here, that you cannot buy your own house and put it into your IRA money.
That's one of my questions. Hold it till we get to it.
Okay.
We're going to discuss what we can buy and what we can't buy. All right? Now, here's another one. Let's suppose I wanted to option a property. Let's suppose I wanted to option a $1 million house, but I can option it for $700,000. I option it for the $700,000, and then I go sell it for, I don't know, $900,000. Obviously, there's a $200,000 profit in there. So what we're saying here, Dick, is that the IRA can option the property just as well as I can option it. And if the IRA does the option, the IRA then gets the $200,000 profit in the account for us, tax-free for life if it's a Roth IRA.
Yes, and what that happens is what you have is an option, a piece of paper, to buy a house for $700,000. You then sell your option to somebody who wants to purchase your house, that house for $900,000, and your option price that you receive for that option paper is $200,000. So your IRA now made $200,000, and it goes back into your IRA account, and there's no taxes to pay on that. Until we meet the requirements of 59.5.
So the only thing we have to focus on here is, A, we must learn how to go out and do real estate and real estate-related deals to make these nice profits, and we're going to be actively involved in most of these transactions because we have the knowledge to do it. Now all we have to do is decide, do I want this property? I mean, do I want this income in my own personal life? Or do I want my IRA to get this income tax-free? Can I live without this money? Or should I be letting the IRA make this money and let the profits grow tax-free for the rest of my life? Decision I've got to make. But isn't it true that even if I wanted to, that I could even partner with my own IRA?
Yes, you can.
Let it have some of the money and let me have some of it?
Yes, you can. And as long as you create a new entity, and that if you put 40% of the money into the deal and your IRA put 60%, when the profits come back, it's 40% to you and 60% to your IRA. As long as the sharing is what the capital contribution is, then it's legal to do that. And we will show you how to make that happen.
All right. But in the case of the option deal we did a while ago, let's suppose I only needed a $100 earnest money deposit. So the IRA puts up the $100 if it wants all the deal, and if it doesn't, it puts up the whatever percentage it wants, right?
Correct.
60-40 is not a rule. That's just something you just
made up. Yeah. It could be 50-50. It could be 70-30.
Yeah. Okay. And isn't it also true that a husband's IRA could partner with a wife's IRA?
Of course.
And in fact, isn't that the way it should be? So that the wife, you never hear husbands, how come your IRA made more money in my IRA? In my opinion, that's the way you should do all your deals if you're married, so you get an equal distribution of profits into both IRAs. So, Dick, let's go through the process of exactly what we got to do logistically to make this thing work and see if we can't get our listeners to understand how really simple this is once we decide that the IRA is going to get the money rather than we taking it out. And before I do that, I got to caution you guys listening. You better be very, very careful before you decide not to put money into the IRA that you could. And you also should be very careful before you start pulling money out of your IRA that you don't really need or you can get elsewhere, because every single dollar that you don't get in that IRA or that you pull out of it is a dollar that cannot grow tax-free for the rest of your life and beyond. If you take time to figure out what the cost of getting this money out of the IRA is, it will be staggering, and I am sure you will deter yourself from actually trying to suck money out. People ask me this all the time, Dick. Well, what if I want to take some money out of my IRA? Well, go do something else. Don't take it out of your IRA. In fact, the IRA is there for you when you don't want to work anymore. And one of the beauties of the Roth is you don't have to take it out, do you?
No, Ron. When I go out speaking, that's one of the questions I always get. And I use this example. You know, if you were making $5,000 in a real estate deal that you just made $5,000, and you had to pay tax on, generally most people would pay $1,300, 30% roughly would be the tax on them. But you have a silent partner, and the IRS is your partner. Now, to get rid of that partner, in one transaction, you have lost $1,500. That's what people think. You lost $1,500 for this year because in that taxable event, you got to pay the IRS $1,500. You got to keep $3,500 today. But what you really lost was that $1,500 earning interest and profit for the next 30 years or whatever your life expectancy is or whatever how that time frame is. And I use an example of just earning 10% on your money over a 30-year period. That's over $35,000 you have lost on just one transaction at $5,000.
So that $1,500 would turn into $35,000 at 10% over 30 years.
No, exactly. When I talk to real estate people and I ask them, what is the average transaction profit you have made as a real estate investor? And most of them throughout the country will say $20,000 to $30,000. So now we multiply that times 5 to 6 times, and you're looking at just one transaction costing $200,000. And the only mistake you made was making that investment outside of your IRA when you could have put it inside the Roth IRA and it would have been tax-free for the rest of your life.
Yeah. In other words, there is no better way to grow money than tax-free, is there?
No.
And we mean tax-free. Never, ever, ever paying taxes. And this is the only entity that we're allowed to do this in. This is why it's so important that you and I get this message out to the American public. They do not understand this stuff.
And we're talking about federal income tax and state income tax.
Yeah, no tax, no tax. All right, well, where were we? We're going to go through the logistics here, And I'm going to let you describe the process as simply as possible because it really is so simple. And people get hung up on the logistics. They think this is some kind of a lot of work or you got to be some kind of a programmer or something magical about it. It's so simple. So let's start from the beginning. I want to go option a property. I want to option a $200,000 house. And the seller says I can option it for the loan balance of $160,000 because they won't let me take over the debt. So I get an oral agreement. That would be step one. All right. Step two is I have to get a written option agreement, of which if you have my courses, you can get right out of the blue course, you know, lease option package. Yes, I get a written option agreement. Now, if we know at this point that our IRA, that we want this deal in our IRA, instead of putting our names on the top of the option agreement, what do we put there, Dick?
We put equity trust, custodian for the benefit of, and we use FBO, for your name as an IRA. And so I used to say John Smith, but everyone would put John Smith on there. So what we really mean is you got to put your name and your IRA account afterwards. So it's equity trust, custodian for the benefit of John Smith IRA.
So it goes like this. Equity trust, comma, FBO, for the benefit of, comma, Ron LeGrand, comma, IRA.
No.
Wait a minute. Now, that's the way they should all fill out their option agreements.
Well, Ron, I don't think they want to leave their...
LEGRAND.
I don't think they want to leave their IRA to you, Ron.
Oh, they don't? Okay.
They want it to themselves or their family.
This is my tape. We can do it my way.
I agree.
All right. So now, we have a very simple option agreement. And we have it filled out, but instead of you being the buyer, your IRA is the buyer.
Correct.
All right?
Now, let me go to one step with that.
Yep.
We have assumed that they have opened up and transferred some money to us.
Yeah, we have to assume that you already have an account with Equity Trust to do this, yes. All right.
And then you have a direction of investment form with us. And all these forms can be downloaded from our website, which we just gave earlier.
All right.
And it's just a one-page agreement, and it's very simple. It's saying, take my $100 and sign this option agreement and send the money to the title company, to your attorney, to the real estate agent for the consideration for that option.
Or even to the seller.
Or to the seller, yeah.
All right, so let's go back. Step one, we got to get an agreement. Okay. Step two, then we go on equityetc.com. I'm sorry, trustetc.com. We fill out a direction of investment form. Which
one page.
Means you've got to fill in the blanks, and that means you've got to tell Equity Trust where to send the money, which if it's a $100 deposit, send my $100 to blank. And that, of course, is wherever you want it sent, either to a title company or to the seller directly. Got it?
Great.
All right, so we're done. We press send, we're done. And of course, we're going to have to tell you whether to mail it or wire transfer it or send it by carrier pigeon.
Anyway, right? And we take care of that process and make it happen.
All right, now we're done. And we are done. And the only other thing to do is that your company is going to want a copy of the option agreement.
Correct.
To put in your file. Okay. Now we go sell the house. We sell the house for $200,000. Closing is a few days away. Now what we should do is call the title company up that's doing the closing. He probably the day before the closing would be most likely, and tell them we want all the net proceeds of that sale to go to Equity Trust, comma, FBO, comma, Ron LeGrand, comma, IRA. You just tell the closing agent to make the check out directly to Equity Trust. Is that correct?
Correct. In the name of the IRA owner.
Right, Ron LeGrand. Okay. And now we can pick up the check if we want and have them have it directly sent to you with a little letter saying, the option has closed. Please deposit this money into my IRA.
And what happens is I get a check from the title company for $40,000,
mm-hmm.
and I put the money in a bank account,
mm-hmm.
and I wait for them, for the client, to now reinvest that money with something else.
Okay. So here, we've just made $40,000 in our IRA with a very simple option. And again, we did not touch the money. The money did not go through our bank account. And we better make this crystal clear. If we touch the money, if we send you the money from our bank account, it's going to be considered a contribution, an excessive contribution, and it will destroy the whole program on it.
Correct.
So here's what a lot of people have trouble understanding. We are not making a $40,000 contribution to our IRA. Our IRA just made a $40,000 profit, and there's no limit to how much of that we can make per year. No different.
Because they bought a option, and they sold the option and made the profit off of that.
No different than us buying some stock in some IPO, and that IPO goes public, and we make a lot of money in it. We made an investment. We got back a nice profit. The difference is, in our world, our profits are going to stagger most anything else that most people think you should be doing to create revenue. And the best part about this example, Dick, the example I just gave is a very real example, very common and normal example. The IRA puts up $100 and makes $40,000. We can do that because we're leveraging our brain and our knowledge, not our wallet or our credit. And in fact, your IRA cannot guarantee debt, can it?
No, it cannot. But, you know, you're talking about this. You know, I have a letter here that one of my clients who attended one of your educational events in Las Vegas that you had, and you were teaching him how to purchase property with your self-directed IRA. And you talk about a little bit of money. You don't mind if I read this real quick?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It says, thank you for the phone call last week, Dick. It was great meeting you in person at Ron LeGrand's event in Las Vegas in July and hearing you talk on how to purchase property with your self-directed IRA your company provides. And I purchased my first property after starting the Ron LeGrand system through my Roth IRA at Equity Trust. Believe me, I knew nothing about taking deeds to property, much less in the IRA's name. So what did I do? I called Equity Trust. They helped me through the process. Just to let you know how the deal worked out, I did purchase the house with my Roth IRA. That deal netted me $61,000 in 6 months. Yes, $61,000 with a $500 investment. Thank you. And she signed her name.
Try beating that return on the stock market.
You can't.
That's a little better than CDs, isn't it?
No, because what we're talking about is using your knowledge, your expertise, and our service to make this thing happen. It's just like if you were a stockbroker or you had inside information and you were buying and selling stock and you were good at it and made a lot of money, but this way you don't have any knowledge about the stock market. You don't know what's going on. You can't believe the reports that you see and what's happening out there with all the fraud and things that were happening and accounting problems and this and that. And also, you know, whether they're overvalued or undervalued. And when you have the knowledge of real estate and you know the market you're in and you know your neighborhood that you're buying in, you know what the real value is.
All right, well, Dick, let's talk about what my IRA can buy and what it can't buy. Let's start by what it can't buy.
It cannot buy collectibles, which are defined as stamps, coins, alcohol, rugs, antiques, that type of stuff that is prohibited by the IRS. But you can buy gold coins issued by and bullion by the United States government, and anything else is legal.
Okay. It cannot buy the house we live in.
Cannot.
It cannot buy the house our parents or children live in.
It could use a one-time $10,000 money to use for a down payment.
But it cannot buy the house.
It cannot buy the house, no.
Okay. For some reason, it can buy the house my brother and sister lives in, just not my parent, grandparent, or children or grandchildren live in.
Correct.
Okay. It also can buy just about any kind of investment you can think of that you would buy outside of your IRA, such as stocks, bonds, mortgages, income streams, viaticals,
equipment, leasing, tax liens, limited partnerships, receivables, all kinds of mobile home notes. You teach that stuff.
Yeah. So you're literally free to buy anything except for the very small list that you just named with your IRA, which, of course, you will never buy if it's sitting down at some securities dealer, you can only buy what they got on their list, which is mostly stocks or mutual funds.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, Ron. If some people want to diversify and say, geez, I have enough money in the stock market, that's why a lot of people come to us and say that we want to diversify and get involved in real estate because we see how much money people are making in real estate. And then we have other people who say, I don't even want to be in the stock market. I want 100% of my money in real estate. We have those two kind of clients.
All right. Well, I'll give you an example of defaulted paper. One of my favorite things to buy is defaulted mortgages because you can get them for dimes or quarters on the dollar, and force sale of the property and wind up getting a dollar or more on the dollar. The example of that is a deal that I did recently where we bought a house that was in foreclosure, but there was a second mortgage on it that was worth $210,000. That was the face amount of the mortgage. That's what was owed. We bought that mortgage for $95,000. Now, that could just as easily have been the IRA's $95,000 that bought that mortgage. And then when we forced sale of that by filing foreclosure, because we now become the lien holder, the second mortgage holder, when whoever comes to that sale has to bid at least $210,000 plus costs, plus attorney's fees, plus accrued interest. So I put out $95,000, I get back $210,000 plus. Is that a great use of IRA money, assuming there's capital in there to buy that mortgage with? Yes?
Of course it is.
Yes. So defaulted mortgages is a beautiful thing to do with your IRA. Also, making loans to other investors, which is what I do with my IRA pretty much as fast as the money gets in there. I make loans I loan out money at 15% interest. I get some points the day I loan the money, plus I get a prepayment penalty when they pay it off. In a nutshell, I'm accustomed to getting a 25%+ return on my money inside my IRA by making short-term bridge money, hard money loans, or equity loans on real estate deals at no more than 65% of their market value. Guys, I've been doing that for years. It's a great use of your IRA. Also, tax liens and tax deeds, buying tax liens where the government guarantees your return, or going to tax deed sales. These are all great uses. These are all ways to get a high rate of return in our IRA that we're not going to get investing it with some securities dealer who is going to be doing a very conservative plan. In other words, you don't have to satisfy with a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% return on your money. If you take control of the money, you can invest it smartly, leveraging your brain, and grow it many, many times what it's going to be. In fact, let me give an example, Dick, of what happens to money here before we move on. I happen to have one in front of me. Let's say you got $100,000 inside your IRA, or even outside for that matter. You invested at 7%. In 10 years, it turns into $172,000. If you take that same money and you invest it at 15%, which anybody can do that by making loans to your neighbors, to your real estate investor friends, to let them buy and rehab and resell property and pay you back. All my loans, they're in and out within a year. So 15% is their easy return to get. But if you take that same 100 and invest it at 15% instead of the 7 for the same 10-year period, now it turns into $444,000. Now, that's a big difference between 172 and nothing changed except the rate of return. Take that same 100 grand, put it out at 20%, which all of us can do, for the same 10-year period, it turns into $725,000. So there's a good example of what happens when you take control of your money. Now do it in your Roth IRA, and it's all tax-free for life.
But I think right here you have to make one distinction, that if people put their money in a bank, it's not guaranteed. If they had their IRA account, they'd be earning 2, 4, 5, 8%, but it'd be guaranteed by the FDIC insurance company up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
But what guarantee do you have on these loans? Obviously, if you've done your homework and you have a secured real estate, and you buy it at 65%, you have tremendous ability to protect your money inside that account, right?
Right. Absolutely. In other words, you want to maintain control and do a little bit of homework and deal with the professionals so that you don't get into any traps. It's not complicated at all, really. Dick, what about, people ask me all the time, well, can I put my properties I currently own in my IRA?
Absolutely not.
That would be a contribution, wouldn't it?
That would be a prohibited transaction, too. You can't self-deal with the linear descent. That means your mother and father, your grandparents, your sons and daughters.
Or yourself.
Or yourself, right.
So in other words, any entity that you have a controlling interest in or any property that you currently own, you cannot just shove them into your IRA because you heard this seminar somewhere that says there's a lot of money in doing that.
Or you could put money, you can buy real estate in your IRA. They think they can just shove a house into their IRA. You can't do that. You have to put money into the IRA, make an investment, and that investment is purchasing either an option or a home or whatever, and then that home is sold for profit, and it comes back into the IRA, and you do it again.
All right, so what's the minimal amount of money that I have to have in my IRA to make an investment that would pass your scrutiny?
We would like to have $500 in the account to open it up and keep it active so that you're available to do transactions, like if you have a $100 or $200 option, you've got to have some money in that account.
So in other words, when I open my IRA, I ought to put at least $500 in it, But when I'd go and get an option to buy a property or whatever, or a lease option or whatever, I only needed a minimum of $100 just so that some money has changed hands and it looks like a real investment, not some kind of a gift.
Well, consideration is given, yes.
Okay, so I need at least $100 for every deal I do. So if I can get $100 in my IRA, I can do a deal.
Correct.
All right, but I can't just go shoving assets into my IRA. My IRA must buy the assets directly from the seller or option them or lease option them or whatever.
Correct.
All right. Can I borrow money from my IRA?
No, that's a prohibited transaction.
Okay. So I get that one all the time, so I'm just covering these questions. All right, here's a big one, a real big one that I want this country to understand. How can I put my children through college free using an IRA?
Well, there is a new IRA now. It used to be called the Educational IRA. It's called the Coverdell Educational IRA.
Spell that.
Coverdell. Okay, and this was passed a couple years ago, and if the child has, it doesn't have to have earned income in this particular one. You can contribute $2,000 totally in 1 year. So the husband and wife can only put in two, or the grandparents can only put in two. The only total amount of money for that child is $2,000. And if the child has earned income by either being a professional model or used in an advertisement, that's how we have young children having an educational IRA when they're 1 day old, because all you have to be is 1 day old and have $2,000 in that account, and you have an educational IRA.
Do I have to put $2,000 in there to open a Coverdell?
You can put up to $2,000.
Okay, so I could open it with $500.
Yes, you can.
And in fact, you just did that for one of your grandchildren, didn't you?
Well, this year, my grandson was born at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was going to say, you're too old to have sons.
No, I don't know that one. my grandson was born at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At 4 o'clock, my grandson had a check for $5,000 payable to Equity Trust for his $2,000 for his educational IRA and $3,000 for his Roth IRA after he was 2 years old. Now, how can somebody 2 hours old have earned income? Well, let me tell you something. When I go around the country speaking, on my overhead projector are pictures of my grandson utilizing the self-directed IRA and educational, and I pay him for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's legitimate.
Mm-hmm. And so you opened your IRA, your grandson's IRA, the day he was born. Don't you have to have a Social Security number?
Well, you apply for it. By the time I filled the forms out, I had to have that Social Security number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's nice to have grandpas like you.
Well, I understand the value of, there's only two things. We can make people money. All you have to do is get a good rate of return and have time. And time is the most important thing. The quicker you get started, the quicker you're going to make your money.
All right, but let's get back to the point I'm trying to make here. You just put $2,000 into your Coverdell, your grandson's Coverdell IRA. Now, the key is to take that $2,000 or 100 of it or 200 of it or whatever and go do a real estate deal and turn that $2,000 into $200,000 by doing 2, 3, 4 deals. And you have now till that kid checks in. You got 18 years or so to do this, don't you? Till that kid checks into college. Can you imagine the amount of money that will be in your grandson's IRA if you just simply do a deal or two a year inside that IRA, each of them putting a minimum of $25,000 profit into it, and then taking that money and investing it in passive things like making loans or buying defaulted mortgages or whatever. All the things that you should do with that cash, and then letting it grow at a higher rate of return, tax-free until that kid gets 17, you could easily have $1 million in that kid's IRA, couldn't you?
Of course. I mean, I give an example that at age one, if you put $3,000 in and you only earn 10% return on that money, at age 65, that's worth $1.5 million.
And that's if you don't do anything
tax-free.
Else.
Tax-free, yeah.
First of all, we're not going to settle for 10%, and second, we're not going to ever do anything.
Now, let me explain one other thing that you said, and we said for the educational IRA, the Coverdell, that it was good for college. It's also, now the law has changed, and that it is now good for K through 12. And that's if you sent your child to a parochial school or Christian school or private school, that money can be used for qualified education and equipment and computers and private school.
And uniforms?
And uniforms.
And books.
And books.
Wow.
Okay, so now you're only talking about K through 12, plus you're also talking about for college. And somebody says, well, how old can you be? Well, you can have an educational IRA up to 18. If the child turns 18, he can't have one. Now, what happens if Johnny doesn't want to go to college? Well, you have a right to use that up to age 30. And you can change the person who's going to college. If Johnny doesn't want to go, we can transfer that money to Mary, and Mary can go.
All right, so let's recap here now. You must open the Coverdell IRA before the child turns 18 years old, or it's too late. That window has closed.
Correct.
They have until the time, from the time you open it, regardless of what age, until they turn 30 years old, to use that money for educational purposes.
Correct. And that money grows tax deferred and taken out tax-free as long as it's used for education.
As long as that money is spent on education, they'll never pay taxes on that money they earned. And in reality, if they do it our way and let a little bit, a few hundred dollars, grow into thousands and thousands of dollars, in reality, they will never actually ever contribute any money to their children's education. Their child gets educated for free and tax-free.
Let me read this little letter to you. I took my wife to a seminar last year, one of our seminars. She is more interested in providing for a comfortable retirement than about real estate. Attending the seminar enabled us to be on the same page when it comes to goals. My wife and I started an educational IRA for our 11-year-old daughter last year, and in addition to transferring our IRA from somebody else. After one small deal, we no longer have to pay for her private school out of our pockets. This is saving us over $500 per month in after-tax cash flow, and I want other people to know that you have greatly helped our present family income and our retirement futures. So you can use that. Here's one person saying, I opened up an educational IRA and I don't have to pay $500 a month after tax anymore. It's coming from the educational IRA using your techniques.
If America only knew this. Can you imagine the thousands or maybe millions of parents out there scrimping and scraping, trying to put their kids through college, and all they have to really do is come to you, open a Coverdell, do a deal or two that requires none of their own money, very little of their IRA's money, just a little bit of knowledge, turn that into some big old cash profits, voila, college education paid for. How come you and I are the only ones to talk about this stuff?
Well, you and I know about education, Ron. I mean, we have to take people, and they're slow to learn, they're slow to get a concept, but once they get it, once they see how much money they can make tax-free, once they see what can pay for this college and grade school education, they're hooked, and they want to do more and more and more and learn more.
All right, Dick, I got another. Let's get off of the children here for a moment. How about getting on to our parents? Suppose I got a 90-year-old parent that has not created a retirement in their life, and they're sitting there just getting by on a little bit of Social Security. Could I open them a Roth IRA, providing I can get them enough earned income now to at least cover the contribution?
Or if they had existing, they can't have Social Security checks or disability, but they have to have earned income. They can have a Roth IRA.
Well, they can be on Social Security, can't they? But
yes,
they still
can.
Have to have earned income.
They have to have earned income, yeah.
All right.
So they open up a Roth IRA, and now you are the beneficiary in many cases, and you can do some deals for them, and they can. First of all, the rule says this: to be tax-free when you take the money out, there's two rules. You have to have the IRA open, the Roth IRA open for 5 years, and you have to be 59 and a half.
All right, before we go any further, let's stop there so we don't have to come back. The rule says that it has to be, the Roth IRA has to be open for 5 years. That has nothing to do with when it starts making money.
Correct.
So if you've already got it, your parent already happens to have a Roth, and it's 5 years old, that rule is irrelevant.
Right. So now any money they take out then after they're 59 and a half and 5 years is tax-free.
Okay. So you go open your parents, your 90-year-old mom, a Roth. You go do a deal. Here comes $25,000 profit into your mom's Roth. Your mom can, in fact, take that money out now, but because the IRA is not 5 years old yet, certainly she's past the 59 and a half point, but because the IRA is not 5 years old yet, what is it going to cost her to take that money out now?
Well, first there'd be a 10% penalty.
So we get 25 grand in her IRA. If she wants to take $2,000 out to live, or $5,000 out to live this year, it's going to cost her $500.
Right.
$500 she didn't have till we did this.
Well, that's the first part.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other five $5,000 they'd have to pay income tax on.
And so she'd have to pay income tax at her current tax bracket, which would be what?
10-15%,
zero.
Yeah.
Probably zero.
Yeah, zero. Yeah.
Okay, so she pays zero taxes, and she pays 10%. So in other words, she gets to take out 90 cents and has to give up a dime in order to get to the dollar.
And that's the worst-case scenario, right?
It's the worst-case scenario?
Yes.
But that would be the scenario if, in fact, the IRA wasn't 5 years old.
Correct.
Okay. So here's at your 90-year-old mom with no retirement income. All you do, get her a Roth IRA opened, go do a deal, have money go in it, and now she can start taking out money and do so until she dies. When she gets short, you just go do another deal. And then, if you're the beneficiary, when she dies, it's your Roth IRA.
And you now when you receive it, it actually stays in your mother's name, basically,
mm-hmm.
and you are the beneficiary of that account. So so what we have is then when you are the beneficiary, two things happen. You have to control the account. You have the right to buy and sell whatever you want inside that account,
mm-hmm.
and you have to take it out over your life expectancy. So let's just say that you were 30 years old. Your life expectancy is another 40 or 50 years. So even if you're 60 years old and taking money out, your life expectancy is 20, 25 years.
Okay. So I have to take the money out that I didn't put in, is what you're saying.
Right. But
okay.
You still have, even in a worst-case scenario, we take it over your life expectancy, if you have 25 years to live, and it comes from an IRS code, we have that here, and if you take out the money the first year, you still have 24/25 of that money. So maybe you had $100,000 in the account. You took out $2,000 or $3,000. You still have $97,000 to grow for the next 24 years, tax free, and you can still do deals and make that account worth $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000.
You betcha. All right. Well, Dick, I get this question a lot. Can I hold properties for long term inside my IRA?
Yes, you can.
So, in other words, I could actually have tenants in my house and collect rents and make payments. Do you do that?
We do that, and that's all included in the fees that we talked about.
You're telling me you will collect my rent and make my underlying payment and drop the difference in my IRA account?
Yes, I will.
So will you go to the door and knock on the door and tell them you want your rent if they don't
Absolutely
pay?
Not.
Okay. So you're telling
what we do is that they mail the checks in to us.
Uh-huh.
We put it into your account,
mm-hmm.
and then if you have us standing instructions to take – let's say that you had $500 coming in, and you said you've got to make a payment for $300. I would do that for you.
So, and there's no charge for this?
No charge.
And so all we need is an IRA account, and you literally can collect our rents for us and make our payments, and we don't have to mess with it. But this is assuming, of course, that the IRA owns the property?
Yes, and we have a lot of people who, you know, believe in the old-fashioned way. They said the best investment they ever made was their home,
mm-hmm.
or they bought a second house and rented it out,
mm-hmm.
and they've had some appreciation in the property and got some
mm-hmm.
cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to take advantage of situations in their community that they know that's a great buy,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reasons, they go ahead and buy it and put it in their IRA.
And I couldn't agree with that plan more under one condition, and that is that we don't bury a lot of cash into that property to buy it. Because this is a mistake that I see a lot of people making that do not understand the compounding or the growing power of cash. So let me just touch on that because we're running out of time here, but I want to get this very important point in, if I may. I believe strongly in buying property and holding on to it. The biggest wealth you're ever going to have in any business or real estate is in the equity, not in the cash flow. I teach my students that we must take care of today's cash flow needs first, and then we can start building equity based on a solid foundation because we have money to live on while we're doing it. Same thing holds true inside the IRA. However, what I don't want to see anybody do is bury money into a property for long-term use. If I have to spend $20,000 to buy a house, that's $20,000 that's going to stay in that house until I sell it. That house is going to appreciate at the same rate with or without my $20,000 in it. You agree?
Yes.
Okay. So if I can buy that same house by getting smarter at buying and not spend that $20,000 and leave it buried in that house, now I have $20,000 that I can invest in all these things that we've discussed, like tax liens and mortgages and defaulted paper and even short-term real estate. But if I don't understand that by burying that $20,000, I lose all of that stuff. I very well may do the old traditional thing, put $20,000 in the property, and my rate of return might be great, but it's nowhere near as great as it's going to be as if I take that $20,000 out and grow it passively at a high rate of return. In other words, If I leave my cash buried in real estate, I'm cutting off all that passive growth that I can get from my cash by leveraging my brain. Real estate is going to appreciate at the same rate with or without your money buried into it. So you literally can collect our rents and make our payments and give us that passive growth. At the same time, direct our cash wherever we want it to go to get two pots growing at the same time. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, Ron. Because what do you think insurance companies do? They take the money and buy real estate, and they get the cash flow, and they take that money and reinvest it. In some cases, they may buy more real estate, but they look at notes and mortgages and other things to buy that give them a high rate of return and give them diversification.
Absolutely. I tell my folks, it's okay to write a check to buy a property as long as you're going to get back a bigger check very quickly. Anytime you can turn cash to assets back to cash quickly, it's a smart move. It's a bad move to bury cash into an asset that's going to grow the same rate with or without the cash. All right, Dick, I'm almost at the end of my questions here. So,
I want to say one thing, Ron.
Yeah.
I'd like to say one thing before we end this. I like to say that we have hundreds of customers that we have come to us and have used your techniques, and the majority of those people are making, I mean, not a majority, but a great percentage of them are making large returns on their money. And their IRA accounts are growing substantially, and it's because of your knowledge and your expertise. And I think you're doing a great job, and thank you very much for educating people in the United States how to make money and anywhere in the United States, because these customers come from Florida, California, Washington, all 50 states, and most of them have gone through your courses. Thank you very much.
Well, there's two things that I'd like to point out. A, you're the guy who taught me all this stuff 10 or 12 years ago and continues to teach me. And B, this is not just the United States. You know, our Canadian listeners have RSPs up there, and even though they cannot purchase property directly with their RSPs, they can do almost everything else that we've discussed here by self-directing their RSPs, same way we do our IRAs in the United States. So,
well, even foreigners can, if they pay income tax, obviously they can have an IRA too, U.S. income tax.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Dick, I appreciate you taking the time. It's an honor for us to work this thing together with you, so that we can get this message out to our public listening to it. And I don't know anybody better qualified on the planet to discuss this subject with than you. So, thank you very much. Do you want to go ahead and give your website one more time?
Yes, it's Trust. That's TRUSTETC.com. TRUSTETC.com.
Okay.
And our phone number is 440-323-5491, and our client service department will take care of you if you have any questions.
You have been listening to Ron LeGrand interviewing Dick Desitz from Equity Trust.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.